where we come to the preaching of God's word from Jonah chapter 3. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Sabbath day when we've been able to gather together as the children of the Lord to sing thy praise, to listen to the hymns, to call upon thee in prayer, and Lord, to listen to thy word. Thank you that thy word never changes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not pass away. It's true, it's relevant for every generation, from the fall of man to the coming again of Jesus Christ. And we pray this evening that as we consider its message, that thou wilt bless the preaching of the word to all those that hear. May the Lord be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jonah chapter 3, the chapter that we read from together, records for us Jonah's obedience to the Lord. Jonah is probably, and sadly, better known for his disobedience to the Lord. Because in the first chapter of his prophecy, we read that the Lord called and commissioned him to go to Nineveh to preach in that great city and to warn the people about impending and coming judgment for sin. Jonah did not wish or want to go to Nineveh because of the people of that city and because they had done much evil to his people, the children of Israel. And so he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And he fled from the Lord. He disobeyed the Lord. And of course, the consequences of his disobedience was the fact that the Lord sent the great storm and then sent the great whale. Jonah was cast overboard from the ship and was swallowed by the whale. And it reminds us and teaches us that disobedience to the Lord brings chastening. It doesn't pay to disobey the Lord. And Jonah found that to his cost. But after Jonah had called upon the Lord, that the Lord would spare him, and that the Lord would deliver him from the belly of the whale, and after the whale had vomited Jonah forth unto the dry land, the Lord came again. And in chapter 3, verse 1, we read, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. These words set forth and extol the mercy, the patience of God to his people. The Lord could have set Jonah aside. The Lord could have called or commissioned another prophet to go to Nineveh and never spoke to or used Jonah again in his service. But no, he gave Jonah another opportunity, rather than to disobey the Lord, to obey him and to do the Lord's bidding. And that's exactly what Jonah did. And sometimes the Lord gives his people a second chance at service. Perhaps there's been some failing or some disobedience on behalf of the individual child of God, and they have failed to comply with the Lord's commands in some area of life or some area of Christian service. And while the Lord deals with them and perhaps even chastens them, yet he comes again and he instructs them and he calls them to go and do that task because he is merciful toward them. And Jonah, in obeying the Lord, and you'll see that in verse 3, so Jonah arose. That really sums up his obedience. Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh. When he arrived, he further obeyed the Lord by preaching in that great city. The Lord's way, when he's going to speak to a people, when he's going to speak to an individual or a city or a nation, he does it through preaching. Preaching has always been God's way. And when he calls men, he calls them to be preachers. And Jonah further obeyed the Lord, not only by going to Nineveh, but by preaching in Nineveh. And he entered a day's journey into the city. He began to proclaim the word of the Lord. As a result of that sermon, the city was spared. Spared from the judgment that the Lord had threatened because of their sin. And we might entitle this then, a sermon that saved Nineveh. And for a few moments tonight, I want to just set before you the aspects of this sermon that spared and saw the city of Nineveh and its people saved from the impending judgment of the Lord. I want you to think, first of all, about the setting of this sermon. Verse 2 tells us something of the Lord's commission to Jonah. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. Nineveh was the capital of the ancient Assyrian nation, empire. Not to be confused with Syria. Assyria was located in the northern part of Iraq, what we would know as modern day Iraq. And Nineveh was situated on the Tigris River, close to where we would know today as the city of Mosul. I'm sure you've heard of that a number of years ago in the Iraq War. It came to the fore and was mentioned a lot on our news items. Well, there, Mosul in the northern part of Iraq is in the same and similar area as Nineveh was all those years ago, when it was the capital of the Assyrian nation and empire. There are two things that we should consider about that city. It was a Gentile city, reminding us that the Lord always had an interest in the Gentile nations. The gospel was never exclusively for the Jew. It was to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And even in Old Testament times, there were illustrations and there were periods when the Lord worked powerfully among the Gentiles and brought many of them to saving faith in him. And this was one of those times. So it was a Gentile city. It was also a sinful city. You get a picture of that as you read the book of Jonah in chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord speaks of their wickedness has come up before me. The little prophecy of Nahum is directed specifically at the city of Nineveh, warning them of God's judgment. And in chapter 3 and verse 1 of Nahum's prophecy, it's described as a bloody city, a city full of lies, and a city of robbery and theft. The king in Jonah chapter 3 speaks of the violence of the hands of these men. And you put all this together and you discover that it was a city where innocent blood was shed. It was a city full of lies and theft. It was a city of wickedness, extreme wickedness before the Lord. And yet the Lord sent his prophet to that place with a message from God. And when we think of those people in that city, it reminds us of the mercy and the patience and the grace of God towards sinners. Because even in these times, God had a message for those Gentiles, and he gave them opportunity to hear the word of God, to repent and to be saved. And in application, I would say that it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how sinful your past has been. The Lord has an interest in you, and he has a message for you in the scriptures. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friend, whatever your sin is, whatever extent it has been, yet there is a message for you that there's a God in heaven. And he has an interest in you, and he's a message for you about the salvation of your soul, and he's willing to receive you if you will turn unto him and repent. These were the people that Jonah preached to. These are the people that we must preach to. We must call to repentance. And we say to those that find themselves engaged in such sinful activities, there's a God in heaven. He's a message for you. The second thing I want to point out about this sermon, not only its setting, but its sentence. Now, by the word sentence, I mean the judgment within it. I'm thinking of this, the type of sentence that is passed down by a judge. Whenever a crowd, someone is brought before the civil court and authority, they're tried, they're found to be guilty, the judge will pass sentence upon them. He maybe sentenced them to so many years in prison, or he'll fine them. Years ago, when the death penalty was still in force, he may have even sentenced them to death. And the word sentence in that sense is used of a judgment. And in this sermon that Jonah preached, it is clear that there was a sentence and a judgment from God upon the people. You'll see it in chapter 3 and the verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The message was simple. God was going to send some sort of judgment whereby the city and its people would be overthrown, they would be slain, and they would perish because of their sin. We're not told how that overthrowing was going to happen or take place. It may have been that an enemy army would have entered in. It may have been some divine act as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It may have been by some natural occurrence sent from God, like an earthquake or some other calamity. We're not told exactly how God was going to do this. But the message was simple. There's judgment coming, 40 days, and judgment will come because of the sin and the evil and the wickedness of this people before God. Such is God's holiness and his justice, that he will not permit rebellion and sin to go on indefinitely. If it is not turned from, he will most certainly judge it. He may let the fox run for a long time, as we would say or speak about. He may let the individual persist in their sin for a lengthy period of time. And sometimes we wonder why wicked and evil men go on so long in their evil ways and are never checked or stopped by Almighty God. I tell you, eventually the Lord will catch up with evil men. Eventually judgment will come, and that's the warning from Jonah. Let me say that Jonah's warning, the sentence from God to punish sin, is true generally of the world. The world cannot go on rejecting God, rebelling against his law, defying him without God intervening in judgment. In Noah's day, he sent the flood. He gave them 120 years under the preaching of Noah to repent. But when they refused, eventually, he sent the flood to overthrow them all. It was true in the days of Babel or Babylon, when the people determined to rebel against God and build the Tower of Babel. And the Lord let it go so far, and he came down and he judged them by confounding their languages that they didn't understand one another. He judged them for their sin and rebellion. The same will be true in the second coming. The Lord will one day, we believe it's coming soon, for the signs are falling into place. He will not let the rise of rampant militant sodomy go on indefinitely. He will not allow the taking of innocent life in the womb of mothers to go on indefinitely. He will not allow the wickedness and general evil of society to go on indefinitely. He will come the second time to judge the world in righteousness and bring judgment upon the ungodly. It is true generally of this world that it will be overthrown for its sin. It is true of nations. You ask Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when Moses declared that he must let the people go, the Lord sent the plagues, and one after the other they came and they went, and Pharaoh maybe thought all he had to do was to outsee those plagues and eventually things would return to normal. But oh, the death plague came. And Pharaoh hardened his heart and he followed Israel out of Egypt, right out to the Red Sea, and the sea opened and Israel went through, and Egypt's armies were destroyed in the sea, the Red Sea, and the nation was virtually destroyed. You ask the Media Persian Empire. Oh, the king, he called for the vessels that had been taken from the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and he mocked the God of heaven, and he drank from them in his drunken feast and stupor. But the finger came and wrote on the wall in Daniel chapter 5, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." The Lord had taken the kingdom from it and gave it to another. And that night, the kingdom of Babylon fell to the kingdom of Persia. God destroyed it. He judged it. He overthrew it. You ask the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, they cry, "His blood, the blood of Jesus, be on us and upon our children." And in AD 70, their blood ran through the streets of Jerusalem when it was overthrown in the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies. Oh, what was true and is true generally of the world is true of nations. You cannot continue to defy and rebel against God and it not come in overthrowing judgment. But it's true also of individuals. He told Adam and Eve the day they would eat of the forbidden fruit that judgment and death would enter into the world, and so it did. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." My friend, you sin against God personally. You live a life of Christ rejection. You disregard the gospel of Christ. You may have a long life on this earth in your own eyes of 80 or 90 years. But eventually, the Lord will come. The death angel will take you out into eternity. And the judgment of God will come upon you. That's why Jonah preached. That's why John cried, "Flee from the wrath that is to come." Because there is wrath from God for sin, and eventually His justice and His holiness will demand that sin be punished. Therefore, like John and like Jonah, God expects the preacher to proclaim judgment. Men and women might flee from that wrath that is to come. If you're listening to my voice tonight, you're not a believer in Christ, never experienced that new birth, in the night we say, flee from the wrath that is to come. For as sure as you're sitting in the car park of Bethany Free Church tonight, you be sure the judgment will one day come for sin. There is the setting of this sermon, the sentence within it. I want you to think of the substance of it. If you look at verse 8 of Jonah chapter 3, you will see the response to a sermon, and something in this response shows us exactly what Jonah preached. The king is saying, "Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way." And I want you to notice that little bit. Let them turn every one from his evil way. That's why the people adorned sackcloth and ashes. That's why they fasted. They were evidencing genuine sorrow and remorse for their evil and their wicked ways before God. They were sitting before God in their sackcloth and their ashes. They were fasting to show God they were genuinely sorry for their evil deeds. And the king is commanding them to do this. Word of Jonah's preaching came to the ear of the king, and he instructed his people to do this. And it's evident that they entered into it in a most sincere and genuine manner. How did they know to turn from their wicked and evil ways and from the violence that was in their hands? We can only conclude that Jonah preached it. He not only preached that the city would be overthrown and declared God's judgment, but he called upon them to repent and turn from their sin. And true gospel preaching must not only set forth judgment for sin, but it must call sinners to repentance. Those were the things that Jonah preached. There is wrath. The city will be overthrown. You must beware, and you must turn from your sin. I have to say that Jonah would not have won too many popularity contests on the so-called religious channels on television in this day and generation. In fact, he may not have got too many invitations to preach around various churches because of the things that he preached. He preached judgment for sin. He preached repentance. And these are forgotten things in this day and generation in which we live. We live in this generation when so-called evangelical believers want to go down this seeker-sensitive road and don't emphasize these doctrines or truths that men find repulsive or aren't pleasant to the flesh. Rather, just emphasize the love of God and God's wonderful plan for their life and God's interest in them. But don't tell them there's a hell to come. Don't tell them that they must repent and believe the gospel. Don't go into any detail about what that actually means. But Jonah preached, and he preached just what God told him. Did you see that in verse 2? This is what God told Jonah to preach. Arise and go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It was the Lord told Jonah to preach about coming judgment. It was the Lord who told Jonah to emphasize repentance and a turning from sin unto God. I want to tell you this evening, you should already know it, but I want to emphasize it. Any preacher, any professed minister that does not emphasize those things and those realities is not in obedience to the Lord and is out of step with what the Lord would have him to preach upon. Because God told Jonah to preach judgment and repentance, and his message hasn't changed. Because when Jesus came into Galilee, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Paul stood in Athens, he said, the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And whether it's in the days of Moses, or the days of David, or the days of Jonah, or the days of Jesus, or the days of Paul, or in 2020 AD, the Lord bids his servants to preach these things. And if you want to be saved from judgment, judgment for your sin, then you must repent. For except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a recognition of sin. It is a genuine sorrow for sin. It is involves an abandoning of sin and a turning unto the Lord for mercy. My friend, have you repented and believed the gospel? That's the message God bid Jonah to preach, and it's the message that every faithful gospel preacher must preach today. Have you repented? There was the setting of this sermon. There was the sentence within it that God would overthrow the city. There is the substance of his message that the Ninevites must repent and turn from their evil ways. Then in verse 9 and 10 you will read of the salvation that flowed from it. Because it tells us, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. He did it not. The Lord spared the city because the people repented and believed the Lord at the preaching of Jonah. On the basis of their repentance, they perished not, and judgment was stayed. I remind you tonight in closing that judgment is coming to this world. For the Lord will judge the world in righteousness. The Bible describes the judgment throne, the fire that will fall upon the ungodly. A reminder, the judgment is not only coming to this world, it's coming to individuals. Because we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive that eternal destiny for the deeds done in the body. The Bible teaches us that it is only those who have repented and believed the gospel who will be spared. When the fire falls, the believers in Christ will rise in the first resurrection. Those believing in the Lord that are on the earth will rise after them. As the fire will fall and the tares of the ungodly will be gathered together in bundles and cast into the fire. Hear those words, depart from me, person, into everlasting flame. Now, this is not the last time we read the men of Nineveh. Jesus mentioned them. He said that the men of Nineveh would rise in the judgment, condemn his generation who had rejected him because they had repented the preaching of Jonah. They were Gentile men and women who heard the message of one prophet of the Lord. That is preaching, they turned to the Lord and were saved. Perhaps there are those under my voice and you've heard preaching of the gospel many, many times and by many different men, and haven't repented. I tell you, in the day of judgment, those men of Nineveh will condemn you because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. If you die in your sins, you will die guilty before God, having squandered and spurned the opportunity the Lord has given you. You'll be lost, perish. Trust tonight you will follow their example, and in the judgment you will be with those men of Nineveh who entered into the kingdom of God and were saved and spared from the wrath that was and is to come. The sermon, save the city. May the Lord be pleased to save precious souls through the preaching of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt accept of our thanks for the opportunity and ability to have worship and gospel services. May that thou wilt bless the ministry of thy word. The people will take seriously the things of God, the message of Scripture. Lord, we pray that thy people will be faithful in their witness for Christ and live honest and holy lives before thee. And we pray that those that know thee not as Saviour have never repented or turned from their sinful ways and deeds, that they will recognize there is a judgment to come and that they must get right with God. Bless the ministry and preaching of thy word for the glory of God and the extension of thy kingdom. Bless and prosper thy church in these days. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.